Well, first, thank you for the way that you've warmly welcomed myself and my wife. We've really appreciated getting to know people, having really great chats with you, and looking forward to continue to do that in the coming year. And I'm really excited to be looking at God's Word together today. And so let's pray as we come and reflect on that. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Word. Thank you that you've revealed it to us. Through it, you reveal yourself to us, and we pray that you'll give us ears to hear what you have to say to us today, and courage to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to begin with a question for us today. How does someone find rest with God? Too often in the world, there are people trying to find rest with God, and yet they've been weighed down by rules and expectations about how to know God. These rules can fly at them from left, right, and center, and often they feel exhausted, no closer to God than when they started. Sometimes God can come across as more of a tyrant who just wants us to be his slaves. And for some, rest with God, it just doesn't even sound possible. And their experience of trying to find it has just led to exhaustion. Thankfully, Jesus speaks into this problem and presents the beautiful reality, the true reality of rest with God. Jesus is gentle and lowly, lowly in a sense of humble. And his gentleness and lowliness drives how he treats us. He's not exclusive to the highly educated or to those who work themselves down to the bone. Jesus is the one who gives genuine rest for our souls to anyone and everyone who comes to him. I want to really drink in these words of Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's two main observations from this passage that we're going to look at today as we unpack this. First, the gentle and lowly Son reveals God. And second, the gentle and lowly Son gives rest. And as we look at these two points, it's my hope that you will come to the Son. That is, that you will trust in Jesus, leaving behind any attempts to satisfy God on your own. Come to the Son. So our first point, the gentle and lowly Son reveals God. Now last week we saw people missing the moment. Jesus did so many signs pointing them to who he is, God's Son. And yet they reject him. But why? Why have these people rejected Jesus? Well, our passage today helps to peel back the layers to see why they've rejected Jesus. It teaches that it's him alone, the gentle and lowly Son, who can reveal God, and yet these people have ignored that. We're going to read from Matthew 11 again, verse 25 to 28. It would be great if you had your Bible open, following along with me. So let's read Matthew 11 from verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why have the people in front of Jesus missed a moment? God has hidden it from the wise and understanding and revealed him to little children. Jesus' gentleness and humility doesn't match their ideas of wisdom, and so they're not willing to learn from him and to listen to him, and so they reject him. Now, the focus here is on those who think themselves experts in knowing God, not just anyone who's smart, right? These so-called experts have used their wisdoms to study the law, and they've developed their own idea of God. And yet here comes Jesus onto the scene, and like verse 29 says, he's gentle and lowly. That's not what the experts were expecting. And they were offended by him. They reject him and miss the moment. And God remains hidden to them. Now, that's not to say that they just needed a little bit more wisdom to figure out who Jesus is. Jesus corrects that by saying this: no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Only Jesus can reveal God. And so it flips things on its head. It's not us using human wisdom to figure out who God is, but it's Jesus who reveals God to us. Let me say that again. It's not us using human wisdom to figure out God. It's Jesus who reveals God to us. And so for those who rely on their own understanding and expectations of God, they miss Jesus. God is hidden. Now, in a lot of ways, this is actually how we get to know each other, right? Now, I'm pretty new here at church, so maybe you can make some observations. You can use your wisdom to try and work out things about me. But there's only so much your wisdom can work out about me, right? What about my heart, my thoughts? What about my fears and my desires? They need to be revealed to you by me. You can't work them out with just wisdom. And it's the same if you want to learn about a friend of mine, Owen. I suspect no one in this room knows Owen, otherwise it doesn't really work. But if you want to find out about Owen, I'm the only one in this room who knows him. You could try and make some guesses, or you could come to me who knows Owen, and I can tell you about him. Of course, I only know so much about Owen, but the good news is that Jesus knows the Father, and he makes it clear he is the only one who knows God. He is the one to learn from. And so in a massive surprise to his audience, and I reckon a massive surprise to us as well, Jesus says that it's little children that God is revealed to. Little children. The solution isn't to make yourself more wise, but to listen to Jesus. Now, my friend had a baby this week, which is really exciting. She's really cute, Mia, and it was really good to see a little baby at the front earlier. But let's be honest, with little children, especially she's less than a week old, right, my friend's baby, she's not the wisest person to ever exist, right? She's still learning. She's not someone who just knows enough to just survive on her own. She's in a position of humility. She's relying on others and what people teach her. And in a similar way, we are to be like children as we listen to Jesus and let him reveal God to us. We come to Jesus gentle and lowly with humility. Now that's why what we often do here at church before reading God's word is we pray to him for understanding, because we recognize that our human wisdom can't just put all the pieces together. We need his help. And I encourage you to be doing this at home as well, to adopt a position of humility, because our knowledge is limited. Now, Jesus' generation were offended by his gentleness and humility. But for us, we can actually see how that reveals God. Because it's in his humility that God enters into creation, not as a king, massive ruler, but as an infant, as a child. In his gentleness and lowliness, he fulfilled the law and he died the death that we deserve. And this sheds so much light on who God is. So praise God, he doesn't just meet our expectations for what we want from him, but that he is gentle and lowly. It can be such an unmovable barrier for many, for those who rely on their own wisdom. But I don't want you to miss the moment. Come to the gentle and lowly Son, who alone reveals God. And as we do that, we can actually really delight in how God reveals himself to people. This passage lifts our eyes up to God and his good plan. And Jesus has so much praise for the way that God reveals himself. Now, I suspect that a lot of times this can actually be really difficult for us, particularly as we care for people who don't know Jesus. But this passage helps us to look above to what God is doing. And when we see what God is doing, we can see his goodness, his gentleness, his fatherly care. It reminds us that God is good. And it is good that he's not just revealed himself to the elite, but that he reveals himself to children like us. And so I hope this week you don't just remember and know that Jesus reveals God, but I hope this leads you to praise, to glorify God for the way that he reveals himself. His plan is good. And so that's the first main observation from this passage. The gentle and lowly Son reveals God. This prompts us to come to the Son, to know God, and to praise him for his plan. The second point flows from this. The gentle and lowly Son will give rest. Let's read again from Matthew, and we'll go from verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart, and this is reflected in how he treats us. Come to him and he will give rest. It's very different to the first reading we had from 2 Chronicles. We saw that a king replaced his father, another king, and while his father was a bit of a tyrant, this king sees the burdened people and he decides to add even more burdens to them. It's far different to what Jesus does. He sees a burdened people, he takes it away and he gives rest. Everything stems from his character, for he's gentle and lowly in heart. So we're going to talk about some of the joy that comes from this rest. And as we do that, I hope you don't just focus on the gift, but the gift giver, the gentle and lowly Son. Now, Jesus is speaking to people who have so many burdens to carry, as I'm sure a lot of us will appreciate. They're oppressed and weighed down by sin, the requirements of the law, by religious leaders, by Roman authorities. Jesus doesn't come along and add more weight. He replaces all these burdens with a weight that is light. He gives rest to his people. But what kind of rest does Jesus actually give? Now, I enjoy a day off, I enjoy a bit of a holiday, but is that what Jesus is talking about? Just putting our feet up and enjoying holidays. Jesus paints a better picture. The Bible paints a beautiful picture of rest. But it does also teach that rest has been tainted by sin. See, the reason it's so difficult for us to find rest is because of our rebellion against God, as we read in Genesis 3. The Garden of Eden was a beautiful place where we could enjoy rest with God. But we messed up. Humanity sinned, distorting our enjoyment of rest with God, making work laborsome and difficult. And that's what makes Jesus' offer here of rest so profound and so refreshing. Anyone who comes to him will find rest for their soul. Jesus is the one who defeats sin. In his gentleness and humility, Jesus fulfilled the law and died on a cross as our perfect substitute. He is the one who fixes our mistake so we can once again enjoy rest with God, the rest of a right relationship with our Father. And this is a rest that we're all invited to experience today. Sin still affects the world, but there's no rules and regulations we need to follow to get rid of it. It's not a burden we need to carry. Anyone who comes to Jesus, regardless of who we are, will find rest. We'll find rest in the full assurance that our sin has been dealt with by him and that there's nothing more to do to win his acceptance. The good news doesn't even stop there, though. Rest is good. The forgiveness of sins is really good. But it's not just for this life. Otherwise, it would be limited. Jesus did not stay dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead, and he's now seated in the heavens. Those who come to Jesus will be raised with him. And so the good news doesn't just point us to the awesome rest we can enjoy today, but also to a rest we can enjoy in the future. A rest of relationship with God forever. Complete and perfect rest. Those who come to Jesus will enjoy this rest with God. So go to him, all who labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. Now, friends, there's lots of places that we go to try and find rest in this world. We've come off a bit of a period of holidays and relaxation. My social media has been filled with people going overseas, going to a beach. It's good that we can fly again. And we do need this physical rest, don't we? Because we can't just work 24/7. But for many people around the world, that's it. That's the only rest that they can enjoy. The temporary physical rest. They're missing out. No amount of physical rest will release us from the toll that sin takes. No amount of physical rest can give us rest for our soul. Only Jesus can give us that. The one who lowered himself for us so we can experience the forgiveness of sins and rest with God. Let me encourage us all here today to never forget Jesus' words of rest. It can be so tempting to come to Jesus and then to feel like we need to just rely on ourselves after that, to feel like we need to just work towards God's love, or maybe we just need to rely on our own understanding. It can be so tempting to do this just to keep appearances up. But instead, enjoy the true rest that Jesus gives. Spend time this week confessing and saying sorry to God for our sins and resting in the full assurance that Jesus gives, that we are forgiven. And after you do that, I reckon it'd be really great to reflect and read this passage again and to remind yourselves of Jesus' words, to be reminded of the spiritual rest we can enjoy. As we experience physical rest this week as well, I want us to enjoy it, and I hope that it reminds you of the true rest that Jesus alone gives. Remember that we're living for a future rest, a perfect rest with our good and gentle God. Now, I suspect for a lot of us, as we leave church and as we live out this week, it can be easy for the burdens just to pile back on, right? It can be easy for the expectations just to come back and for us to lose sight of some of the things and the true rest that Jesus gives. Let me encourage you and let me remind you of the rest that Jesus gives. It's so great that Jesus doesn't just add extra burdens on top of the burdens that we all experience in life, that he gives rest for our soul. And for me, I've still got the words of the first song that we sang today in my head. We rejoice. In the midst of suffering, we rejoice. This is the true rest that Jesus gives. No matter the burdens and the pain that we face, Jesus helps us to rejoice in him, to experience rest for our souls. He takes our burden of sin away and gives a yoke that is light. So go to him, all who labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. Now, for some of us here, perhaps you are ready to do that for the first time. And I want to encourage you that you can do that right where you are. You can silently talk to God, and I reckon it'd be great. You could use the words we've looked at today. Something like this: Father, thank you for your Son who has made you known. I want to come to you, trust in you, and take your yoke. Please give me rest and forgive my sin. And if that is you, I would love to hear about it and be encouraged that you've come to Jesus. For others, maybe we're not quite there yet. And so let me encourage you to keep seeing who Jesus is. As we've seen today, there's no set program you need to do to increase your own wisdom, but look to the Son. And what we like to do here at St. John's is put on sessions to help you see the Son. We call them Explore, because we want you to explore who Jesus is. We mentioned them earlier in notices, but if you have any questions, feel free to chat to me as well afterwards. We're going to pray to our great God now, thanking him for the great things that we've seen today. I want to start the time of prayer, though, with a time for us to confess our sins to God and get a taste of the refreshment that comes from the full assurance that our sins have been dealt with. And so let's take a moment now to pray, and then I'll finish this in prayer. Jesus says, come to me, all those who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love to us, for the rest that you give in Jesus. Father, please help us to keep trusting in you, relying on you all the days of our lives, as we look ahead to the eternal life and rest with you. In the name of the gentle and lowly Son, Amen.